chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Just really grateful for this morning and just to see you here today. To really bring a message that I feel like God has, you know, just put on my heart over the last couple of weeks. A title of the message is Hearing God, Your Life Depends on It. Your life depends on it. You know, growing up, I had a really desperate want to hear from my dad, and I heard from him. I mean, I did. Desperate want to hear the voice of my mom. And I grew up with a dad and a mom that was present in my life. And when you're present in your children's lives, you're speaking into their lives. And you're not absent, you're there. And it really doesn't have to have much to do with location as much as it does with what's going on between you as parents and your children. But we all have a desperate need to hear. We all had a desperate need growing up to know that we were doing a good job, that they were pleased with us. We all had a desperate need to know that we were loved and we were loved unconditionally. We had a desperate need for our parents to speak into our lives, to encourage us, to point us to Christ, to point us to the Lord. We had that desperate need, that desperate want to. And you see it in little children's lives when maybe they're at a swimming pool and they're saying, Daddy, watch me, watch me. Or Mama, watch me, watch me. It's the very thing that God places in our hearts, this ultimate need to be known and to know. And it begins with family. And what I love about that I was thinking about this the other day. Why is that? Why is that so important? Because when that's working in the home, what's happening in the home means that it's being pointed to God, because that's who God is. God wants to be known and wants to know you. He wants to speak to you. When I think about hearing God and hearing God on a daily basis, I look around a world that doesn't hear God. They hear all these other voices. They listen to culture. They listen to bad advice. They listen to the world. They listen to ungodly people that oftentimes, and more times than none, will speak those things that are really opposed to what Scripture says and what God says. And that's why we have the world that we have in. It's the reason why we have the season sometimes that we walk in. That we're listening to our heart, or we're listening to our emotions, or we're listening to our own mind, not listening to what God says through the Word, through Scripture. Hearing God is very important. We get direction, encouragement, we get rebuke. We get correction. We get teaching from our great God when He speaks to us. Oh, we have a desperate, desperate need to hear Him. I want to ask the question, do you have a desperate want to hear Him? A desperate want to. And we want to hear God in every area of our lives. And it's more than just when I come to Christ, or when I feel a call in our lives, or there's those special moments. No, it's for every day. It's for every day of our lives. To hear what God is saying, to hear what God is, see what God is doing, and to hear Him and to see it, and then to join Him and to walk in agreement with what God says. I think this passage of Scripture in Mark 4 is a very powerful passage of Scripture, and it's not just for us when we get saved that we hear the Word with a fertile and believing heart, but it's for lifestyle, the Christian life. The saved life. Jesus tells this parable in chapter 4, verse 3, about hearing the word of God. He says, listen, verse 3, to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up, and they increased, and they yielded a crop. Do you see that? They grew up, increased, and yielded a crop. And that crop that was produced was some 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you, it's been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may not see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? And then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. You don't have to go far to understand that the sower is Jesus, do you? And let me tell you this, Jesus doesn't skimp in seed. He sows abundantly. He sows lavishly. I mean, this picture of this sower is he's throwing so much seed that it's going into places that has not been prepared. It's fallen on the road. Perhaps it's a road that goes through the crop like it often did. It might be a path, but there's no way that seed can get into that ground because it is hard. It's hard. You've got seed that's sown in the rocky places. You've got seed sown in thorny places. But you've got a ton of seed that is being sowed in the fertile places. Ground that has been prepared. We live in this area, right? And we know a lot about planting. We know a lot about it. And to get a good crop, you've got to sow a bunch of seed. And the more you sow, the more you get, if the conditions are right. And this is the thought. This is the thought. And I like what he says here. If you have ears to hear this. Listen to this. Understand this. These folks are all hearing the word. But there's only one kind of person and one kind of heart that's getting it. The rest aren't getting it. And that's why I think it's so important that when you prepare to hear the Lord, that when you prepare to walk with Him, when we prepare our lives and our days, that we want to hear Him. And I just say the first thing is just have a desperate want to hear God. Have a desperate want to. You know, I like what the psalmist says, and keep your place here in Mark, and go to Psalm chapter 28. It's a very powerful passage of Scripture. David's going through a rough time in this passage. And he's crying out to God, and he's praying. And I love what he asks. He says in verse 1 of chapter 28, to you, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not be deaf to me. Because if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Pit of destruction, a place that's lonely, a place that's hard, a place that's lost. And he says, God, I'm in the midst of these things. Listen, verse 2, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Hey, don't drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. I don't want to be in that number. So you've got to hear me, God. I want you to hear me. If you don't speak and you don't hear me and you're deaf to me, I'm like a dead man. I'm dead if I don't hear you. There's no life. You know, there's times when people say, when is it that you feel the most alive? You think about that for a minute. What is it when I feel the most alive? You know, when I'm doing my career, when I'm doing my business, or, you know, when I'm drinking coffee at Starbucks, I feel the most alive. There's some people who do that, right? What is it that makes you feel the most alive? My prayer is that when you're hearing God, when you're hearing God, so that there is this desperate want to in my life, this desperate want to say, oh God, speak to me. Because if you're not speaking and I'm not hearing you and you're not hearing, I don't think you're hearing me. I'm just a dead person. I'm a dead woman. I'm a dead man. How many times in your seasons of your life that maybe you've had that where you just felt like God was so far away and you weren't hearing him And you had this desperate want to. And it was like, gosh, if God, you're right. It's like I'm dead. It's like I'm dead. Like God is away from me. I want to ask it again. Do you have a desperate want to hear God? A desperate want to. I mean, desperate, but yeah, I want to do this. It's not, it goes beyond the need. It goes to something so much greater and so much deeper. I want to hear from God on this. I want to hear God in my relationship with my spouse. I want to hear God in my relationship with church. I want to hear God in my relationship with my employer, my employee. I want to hear God concerning this situation in my life. Oh God, if you don't talk to me, if I don't hear you, if I don't understand you, I'm like those who go down to the pit. David had a desperate need and a want to hear God. And I ask the question sometimes, why is that? Because I think he understood through the scripture he wrote what it meant to hear God. A very familiar passage of scripture to some of us in here is Psalm 19. I pray it a lot. It's one of those passages of scriptures that's just a part of my life. And therefore, you'll hear it several times a year. Go back just a minute to Psalm 19 and look at verse 7. And I'm just going to just zip through it here real quick because I want you to look at the benefits that he knows that he has when God is speaking. See, he knows that when his soul is hurting, it's hearing God that will restore the soul. He knows that. Notice verse 7. The law of the Lord, it's perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord, it's sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. And they are so much more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. They're sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there's great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also, you keep back your servant from presumptuous sins so they don't rule over me. And I'll be blameless. I'll be acquitted of great transgression. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Oh God, if you're deaf to me, my heart's going to keep being what it is. My soul is not going to be restored today if I don't hear from you. I'm not going to have the wisdom to make the right and appropriate decision today if I don't hear you. Lord, I want my eyes to be enlightened so that folks can see the light of God on me. And what David is saying in this passage, in these two passages, is I need to hear God, I want to hear God, because I know when I'm hearing God, my heart's rejoicing. My soul is restored. My soul is restored. You can see it in my eyes. I'm making wise choices and decisions in my heart and in my mind. And those decisions are based upon what I read in Scripture and how God speaks to me through Scripture. That's why I'm saying in this season, hey, are you reading your Bible? Read your Bible. God wants to speak to you. However that looks for you, whatever that means for you, that I'm opening it up and I'm searching Scripture and I'm searching for God to speak to me so I don't feel like that dead man over there in that grave. So there's life coming forth from my life. So have a desperate want to. And if you don't have a desperate want to, my prayer is that you'd find it today. To know that there is this love affair with God, with Jesus, this love affair with Jesus that's available for us, that we walk in and talk in and speak to, and God speaks to us. You know, when I think about this passage, and if you'll go back to Psalm 28, notice what goes on to say. Blessed, verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he's heard the voice of my supplication. He's heard me. I'm alive. I'm spiritually alive. God has heard me. I've heard God. And it just, I'm alive. Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to me. Because he's heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength, my shield, and my heart trusts in him. I'm helped. Therefore, watch, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he's the saving defense of his anointed. Save your people, bless your inheritance, be their shepherd also, and carry them forever. Let me ask you a question. What gets you excited? Huh? Team won this weekend? Is you excited? Right? New phone, new car. Stuff, things. How excited are you going to be about those things a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now? I look at a life lived hearing God, and that's where life is bound. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And when I have faith, I turn to Him. And when I have faith, I believe Him. And I trust in Him. And that's what He's saying. I'm trusting in God, and therefore my glory, it exalts. It's what you find when you're talking with God. And when God's talking to you, you find this life. Hearing God means I'm alive. So, I want to have a want to. This desperate want to hear God. I want to hear Him today. I want to hear Him right now. But the second thing that I want to suggest to you is that I need to have a heart that's prepared to hear God. I need to prepare my heart. A couple of weeks ago, we saw the writer of Hebrews say, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And then in verse 9 or 12, he said, take care that there not be in any one of you an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. I think that this parable speaks to that. So if you go back to Mark chapter 4, let's talk about preparing our heart to hear God. Now there's four kinds of hearts here, four kinds of soils. Again, the hard soil, right? There's the thorny soil. The rocky soil, and then there's the thorny soil. And then there's the good soil. How do we get from the hardened soil to the fertile soil? How did we get there? Because, you know, I'm afraid sometimes I look at my life and I see thorns sometimes in my heart, choking out the word that God wants to share in my life. Or I see rocks, and there are seasons in my life where I find myself hardened. And God's wanting to speak in those seasons. See, this is a message to you, the church, those of you who know Christ. Yeah, you came to Christ with a fertile heart. It got into your heart. The word spoke, the gospel came, and you believed. And you began this journey. And the Bible says, as you have received Christ, so walk in Him. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling by which you've been called. So how do we get from the hard heart to the fertile heart? How do we get from the thorny heart, or the rocky and thorny, to a fertile heart? To be hearing God on a daily basis and seeing fruit come forth from our lives. To see the desire of God. Well, first of all, let's identify these. The first one, a hardened heart. The Bible says that these are the ones, verse 15, that are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown into them. Another account of this says they walk away and they forget it completely. It's those folks around that they'll hear the word, but they'll forget it as quickly and immediately as they heard it, according to Mark. And by the way, when you read Mark, he loves the word immediately. You'll see it all through it, okay? Immediately this, immediately that. So he says, say they hear the word, and immediately Satan comes, steals the word. And I want to say this because it's real important. You may be here today, and you may be just in and out. Hearing this, forgetting it. Hearing something, forgetting it. Maybe your heart's hardened today. Maybe it's hardened. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life that you've just walked in, and somebody has done something or said something, and you've just closed off to what the word might have to say. And you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. That's not a good place to be. It's not a happy place to be. It's certainly not a happy place in the garden, right? Fallow ground, hard ground. Not a good place. And Scripture would call this the unbelieving heart. The word comes, and immediately Satan comes. And then he says this in verse 6, in a similar way, they're the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. There's the word immediately again. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. And then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. This heart, what I just want to call the heart, the rocky heart, is a fainting heart. A fainting heart. I mean, we've got good intentions. We hear it. We're saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it every day. And then the next day comes, you go, well, not every day. I'm going to do it every other day, right? Hey, we got this commitment, and then all of a sudden we faint. And the Bible says this, when affliction comes and persecution comes, what happens is we get our eyes off of who God is, and we don't endure. We don't continue. And the Bible says they fall away. They fall away from their commitment. They fall away from the Word. Because of some affliction or some persecution. The affliction that maybe came my way because it didn't go my way. And therefore I live my life disappointed. So that whenever the Word comes and speaks into my heart, I'm so distracted by that affliction that might have happened 10, 15, 20 years ago that I can't even hear God today. Or I hear Him and I say, oh, that sounds great. But then I faint. It's the fainting heart. It's the fainting heart. The third soil is the thorns. Now, it's an interesting one. Verse 18. And the others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who've heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Thorny soil. It's the wrong focused heart. Worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things choke out the word. It's this truly distracted heart. It's where I don't keep focused on the real thing, the eternal. Instead, I focus on the temporal. It's thorny. It's wrong focused. It's I'm looking at the worries of the world and I look at the world and I look at the riches and I look at things and I worry about the world and I worry about my stuff and I think that riches are going to fulfill what only God can fulfill and I've got all these other things going on and I think the same thing. I think that if I have those things, it's that I'm going to be fulfilled. I'm going to be God. It's going to be fine. But those things and those riches and that world was never to take place of God. Was it? And we look at those things and we keep our mind and heart on those things and the word is sown and it just gets choked out by those thorns because our heart's not prepared. But I love what he says, what I believe he says about you, about me, about us, that there's fertile soil. And that seed falls into that soil and that soil produces fruit. Notice, it's sown on the good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Fine, that's it. I love it. I mean, it does what it's supposed to do. It plants, it grows, because we accept the word. We hear it and accept it and say yes to that word. And when we say yes to that word, we receive it, and the Bible says we bear fruit. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke of the fruit that comes forth from our lives, that it's to be abundant. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. Yeah, that's what good soil does. That's what good churches do. They bear fruit. And the question that I ask is, first of all, where do you think you are in your relationship with God today? Is your heart hardened? You might say, well, in some places it is. Is there persecution and affliction that you just can't push through the assignment? You can't push through the project? You can't push through the difficulty? I mean, you immediately received it with joy and said yes to that, but then the affliction, it got on your mind, it got on your heart, and it robbed you from continuing to move through the situation. Or maybe there's these worries. You know, in the world you have what? Tribulation. So why am I going to worry about that? I mean, that's what the world does. That's what the world has. Well, I'm going to worry about the things of the world. It only chokes out the word. Or the deceitfulness of riches. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, things. We all have stuff. We all have things. Some of us are wealthier than others. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, those riches can deceive you. Because you can think, boy, when I have that, it's going to be good. And then you get that, and it's not good. Oh, it's good for a while, maybe. That's what it's deceptive about. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other stuff, the other things. It chokes out the word. And then there's the fertile heart. Which one are you today? Which one are you? You know, I want to share just a few more things with you this morning. How we get from A to B or A to D. How do we get from this hard heart to this good heart, soil, this healthy soil? How do we receive the word and hear God and move in that? Well, the first thing I want to say is look back at verse 12. Now, this is a prophetic word, and he's telling giving life in parables. And who's getting it right now? Well, the disciples are getting it. The followers of Christ are getting it. The seekers are getting it. And he says, listen, I'm giving these parables to you so that you can get it. And for those outside right now, it's not for them. But one day it will be. Because I want you to see the last part of it is when we hear and understand, we return to God and are forgiven. Maybe you are where you are today because you've not repented and returned to God. You've not returned to Him to find the forgiveness that God has for you. When we have a baptism, just something that I do, just as your pastor, I ask the question, do you believe what Christ did 2,000 years ago, He did for you? Have you placed your faith in Him? Second, do you know that you have been forgiven? Let's return to God and be forgiven. And if you're in a place right now where you're walking in some things you know you don't need to be walking in, maybe it's time for God to come along and say, hey, it's time, return to me. Don't quit chasing after that. Return to me and live. Return to me and find this forgiveness. Find this release from sin, this release from guilt, this release from shame. We do that by initially when we're born again and when we receive Christ into our lives. When we come to this place that we know that we're a sinner and that we can never make salvation or heaven on our own. But this great God made a way and died in my place. And that's a gift. So I receive that. In receiving it, listen, I'm returning to God and I'm finding this forgiveness and this release to live life. Do you need to return today to God? Do you need to return? Have you drifted so far from Him that you know that today's the day I must return to Him? The second thing that I would say to you about this passage of Scripture is we must count the cost. We must count the cost. You know, when you look at that second soil, you notice that immediately with joy they receive it, but when the affliction and persecution arises, they fall away immediately. The fainting heart does not count the cost. Jesus says, you've got to count the cost to follow me. You want to be a devoted follower of Christ? You've got to count the cost and take up your cross and follow me. What person builds a building without first considering the cost? Or builds a tower without considering the cost of it? And he gets into the project and he realizes, hey, I'm over budgeted now and I can't finish and nobody's giving me any money. And there's this incomplete building, incomplete tower. And God says about that person, he didn't count the cost. He didn't consider the cost. You know, in a way, that's what the Christian life's about. It'll cost you. It'll cost you your flesh. It may cost you friends. It may cost you a job. And you go to places in this world where persecution really does exist, really, really does exist. And if you talk about affliction and people are losing jobs and losing families over it, there are people doing that today. You say, consider the cost. Count it. Sometimes telling the truth might cost you. Sometimes living the truth might cost you. Well, I count the cost. And well, I know that counting the cost, that I have something so much greater ahead of me than what I could ever lose. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The third thing First thing, return, be forgiven, or you count the cost, means following Christ through affliction and persecution. The third thing is to deal with the worries of the world by seeking Him first. It means dealing with the deceitfulness of riches by being satisfied with Him most. It means dealing with the desires for other things by desiring Him more than anything. In other words, I seek Him first, I seek Him most. He is the priority. I look to Him, nothing else. And I allow, as Matthew 6:33 says, that when I seek Him first, all these other things will be added unto me. All these things I was worrying about, all these other things that I thought would make me happy, well, I got them, but I'm so much more happy because I have God. I have Christ. I have Him. I want you to turn to Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As they were traveling along, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to Jesus, and she said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" And I think she's thinking in her mind, I know You're going to agree with me. Tell her to get off her seat and come help me in this kitchen. I mean, You've surprised us. We weren't ready. And I've got all these things to cook, and I have all these things to prepare, and I've been left in the kitchen all by myself, and here's Mary out here with everybody else. You tell her to help me, because I'm right and she's wrong. I'm right, she's wrong. Jesus says to Martha that day, and by the way, I'm just going to say, there's nothing wrong with serving, right? He's not coming across Martha's service. I mean, we'll find her later on still doing her thing, serving. That's what she's wired for. That's her gift, right? It is. And some of you are Marthas, and that's great. You just don't want to be a Martha. Just kidding. I'm a Martha. Okay. He says, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Let me ask you a question. What are you worried and bothered about today? Is that worry and that bother choking the word out of your life? Of how God wants to have this intimate, growing, living relationship with you. Because Mary, she's at the seat of the Lord, and she's listening. And I want to tell you what I believe in my heart. She's a woman that listens to do, listens to go. Some of us live to go and not listen. We love to move and not listen. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what Jesus says, He says to her, she says, but only one thing is necessary. You're bothered about many things, and only one thing is necessary. This is the necessary thing. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall never be taken away from her. She's chosen me. She's chosen me, Martha. Worried and bothered about so many things. She's chosen me. And Jesus is more important than you serving Him. Did you hear that? He is more important than you serving Him. Because I can be about serving Him and not have any kind of relationship with Him. I can get it all messed up and I'm worshiping the service instead of whom I'm serving. I'm worshiping the ministry instead of worshiping the one I was supposed to worship. I'm worshiping the gift more than the giver of that gift. And the gift is great. The gift is great. But we love Him most, and we love Him first. That's the fertile heart. Some believe that this Mary was the Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, which means that she wasn't a very moral woman, if that's the case. Here's a woman who heard God. And you know, I could just see this, and I believe it is. But here's this woman who takes this costly perfume one day and breaks it over his feet to prepare for his burial. She takes that which could have bought a lot of things for her and her family. Or as one of the disciples said, could have given a ton of things away, right? And Jesus said, you leave her alone. Why? She knew what it meant to hear God. Because when you know what it means to hear God, you're going to be about the right things. See, we can be a church doing a whole lot of things and only be right about a few if we're not sitting at the feet of Christ to hear the word with a fertile heart. And we can go 5, 10, 15 years doing projects and stuff and things and never, ever have impact because we really never listened to him. We went ahead of him. My prayer as your pastor today is that you would know how desperate it is. And I mean desperate, I mean in a good way. I'm not meaning in a wringing the hand way. I mean, I've got this desperate want to hear you, God, first. And then we'll move. And we'll go. And we'll put the hand to the plow. And we won't look back. And we will serve. And we will love. And we will be exhausted for you. Because we sat at your feet first. And we heard you. That's where fruit comes. It's hearing and accepting the word in a fertile heart that produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And I want to invite you to that today. To move from hardened, thorny, rocky soil of a heart to a fertile heart that says, God, speak to me. Your servant's listening. I want to hear you. I want to do. That's what we asked the very first message, the first sermon. God, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. As I know I'm hearing from you, because I know that's when I'm alive. I'm hearing from you. You know, there's a fourth thing, and we're not going to be able to get into this morning, but I just want to just put it up there for you. It's a fourth thing, and it's reflect the sower. Give it away. You got fruit coming forth from your life? Take the seed and give it away and reflect the sower. Reflect it by sowing into your own life, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Because the Bible says when you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. And then you sow it into other people's lives. You give it away. You give away love. You give away joy. We give away peace. We give away patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And you know what? I find it. It's so powerful. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, that when you give it away, he's going to keep supplying more so that you keep giving it away. That's the hundredfold. That's the sixtyfold. It's not for my own pleasure. It's to give it away. And I don't know about you, but I know when I'm giving it away, that's when I'm growing most. Right? Giving it away, speaking it out, sharing what God shares in my life and in my heart. Will you bow with me in prayer right now? You know, where's your heart today? Husbands, where's your heart today with your wife? Wives, where's your heart today with your husband? Dad, mom, where's your heart for your children? Children, sons, daughters, where's your heart for your mom and dad? Where's your heart for God? Do you see increasing joy in your life and increasing peace? That's because you've had a fertile heart. And you're not worried about the other things. And you're not worried about riches. And you're not even worried about all the things that the whole world worries about. You're at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of God. Oh, you'll be busy. Because that's what sowers do. They're busy. They sow. And then they'll get busy again because then they'll start harvesting. And they'll gather the seed again. Sell some, save some to plant more. Oh, you'll be busy. I'm not talking about going home and doing nothing. I'm talking about going home and doing something. Listening to the word of God. So I don't walk this life hardened, thorny, stony, but fertile for the glory of God. Fertile for the glory of God. Martha, Martha, why are you worried and bothered about so many things? There's only one thing necessary, and your sister's chosen. She's chosen the good part that'll never, ever be taken away from her. Father, I pray that we would be a church that gives to the good part. Gives our lives to the good part. Jesus first, Jesus most. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Hey, my prayer for us this week is that we'll sow seed. We will sow seed. We'll sow it as God has sowed it into our hearts. We'll give it away. You know, we do that in a lot of different ways. We do it with our giftedness, our words. We do it with our resources. And that's why we're going to have an offering right now. So you can sow with your resources. I don't know if you've noticed in the fold, but we've gotten behind, and we usually do about this time. We're not way behind like we have been, praise God. Just if you're back for the summer and you've been holding back your tithe, it's time to give back, okay? Time to catch up. Also in the good season to be able to ask God, Lord, what are we doing in our gifts? What are we doing in our spending? What are we doing in our money? Are we honoring you, and are we hearing you in it? And so, ushers, would you come forward for that? And then as they pray over this offering, Craig is going to give some announcements, and then I've got one other thing to do, and we'll be dismissed.